Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And boy, I'll tell you, my guests today are going to be sharing some facts, experiences of their own that really demonstrate that mind power in and of itself is absolutely awesome, but you also have to be mindful, you have to take steps for action, and sometimes you just have to sit back and shut up so that you can have a chance to figure out what you need to do when your life is in a corkscrew spiral that just seems to be going no place fast and all you see is a bottomless pit. Can any of you listening to the show today relate to what I've just said? Boy, I sure can. I've had times in my life where I thought there were absolutely no options to work with. I couldn't see a thing in front of me, mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And when I got the book, Five Steps to Thrive, which is not a big book, little did I realize when I started reading it that these two people, Carol and Paul Benson, know exactly what that feels like. And I went, whoa, kindred spirits here. Anyone who's gone through the dump piles in life can relate to what they're going to be sharing. Carol and Paul Benson, welcome to the show.
Hello, Donna.
Thank you.
Your book, Five Steps, Steps to Thrive, Reveal Any Crisis as Opportunity, I think is an absolutely fabulous publication. And the reason I think it's fabulous is because you have been willing to talk about exactly what you've gone through. And this is something that so many times when people talk about their experiences, they'll sugarcoat them or they'll go into some verbal woo-woo of some kind. But you didn't do that. You really put your hearts into this, and I think what you've given in this publication is a gift for anybody who may wonder, how can I thrive? Or after listening to newscasts, say, how in the world can this world thrive? It just seems like everything's such a blooming, mucky mess. I mean, let's face it, listen to news for 5 minutes, and you should be depressed for the rest of the day. What is your story? Carol, Paul, whichever one wants to start first. Let's talk about what you went through.
When we were going through one crisis after another, I mean, it wasn't as if we just got hit with one thing. Because when you get hit with one thing, most of us as human beings can somehow dig down deep into our resiliency and come out okay. And that always helps when you have a moment of reprieve, but we didn't have that. We kept getting hit with one thing after another. It never let up.
What did you get hit with?
Well, I had two construction companies that were multi-million-dollar year companies, and one of them that had the bigger gross of money, that whole industry changed overnight with the housing crash. So I had 1.30 employees, and just trying to keep my business alive was really hard, that first big business. So that was the first big hit. So we ended up losing our house, went through all our savings just to try to keep my businesses alive. Did a bankruptcy, had lawsuits going because I had another company that had some problem jobs. So it seemed like a can of worms opened up on us financially and emotionally.
In your book, Paul, you talk about you came home one evening and you made this statement. You said, why is everything so hard in business now? It's never been this way in 30 years. Now, this is your personal moment. This is your feeling of exasperation. And I loved what Carol came back with, because most people wouldn't think this. She asked a question. What's so right about this? That's a powerful question when you feel like you're in a cesspool of muck and you don't see any way out.
It's very true.
Well, maybe we could touch upon this a bit. You mentioned your show is called The Power of the Mind. That's a beautiful title because we believe that you actually have three brains in your body, but not to go too far afield, we talk about in our book the power of open-ended questions, and we say that your mind is a compass and it can point you in any direction. And so if you're just feeling down and you're just kind of staying kind of stuck in those mind loops of, oh, woe is me, and feeling like a victim to life, then you're not going to be open to possibilities and you're not going to really generate new possibilities. So when Carol said that to me, it was a question we've used before, it was like, okay, I'm not going to be a victim of this situation. What is so right about this that I can learn from? And one of the things I did is I used every adversity as a way to create me being a better person. So instead of feeling a victim to the economy or to my painting business not doing well or my roofing company having problem jobs, I would use every situation as a way to become better as a man, more powerful, and grow and learn from the situation. So when you reframe it, it just helps you face those hard moments better.
The drama of trauma. And trauma comes in so many different costumes. And the drama that goes with it, really, I can relate to that personally. I can relate to the nausea, the feelings that you can't even breathe. Your stomach is all flip-flopping. You don't even want to talk because you're afraid you're going to cry. You get mad. You have all of these things that go on. And it is almost paralyzing. And for a lot of people, it can be. But what I really liked about your book is you used a few words, six. Stay inspired long enough to thrive. I'm going to repeat that. Stay inspired long enough to thrive. That is why I so believe in the power of the published word, of the books, of watching certain movies that inspire. I think that it's so important that we understand that we have to be in charge of our space. Yeah. We may be stuck in the ugliest, most hideous types of situations, but we need to realize we've given the capacity to think, reason, and do for purpose and for the positioning of being able to move forward. And the two of you together decided you were going to thrive no matter what. Now, you had kids, didn't you?
Well, they're mine. You know, this is a second marriage for me, and Paul, it's his first marriage, and we met about over 10 years ago. We've been married. We actually just had our 7th year anniversary.
Congratulations.
So Paul became a stepfather to my two sons, and holding the family together and also our relationship during all of this, most people looked at us and said, how are you two not fighting? I mean, if you look at the statistics, second marriages often hit a crisis within the first 5 years. Well, we did, and many of those marriages do not last.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, the tools that we use that we write about in our book and other ones that we don't write about really just solidified our commitment and devotion to one another and helped us thrive and stay inspired in our relationship. And that was the rock of going through all of the crises together.
Now, it's a pretty tough situation in a relationship, a marriage, when the man of the household, who has been just doing absolutely fabulously, finds the bottom falling out of his business. Everything for men often is related to the work they do.
Yes.
Women relate to the home and family and to work as well. But you also, Carol, had a situation where your job environment, you had to find a brand new one, didn't you?
Yes, I did. A few times. And much of the financial responsibility turned to me. And then I was facing, as a speech-language pathologist, working with special needs children, there was cutbacks in the funding for several of the programs. So there was a lot of stress, and I felt it was hard for me. It was very hard for me because I wanted to hold our family together, and I also wanted to support Paul when he was feeling really bad and frustrated about what was happening with his financial situation.
Now, Paul, there was a background that you had in addition to your construction work. You've also done undergraduate work in psychology, and you're trained in somatic body-centered therapy, and you were involved in various coaching styles before you decided to become an entrepreneur, which you became very successful until it all blew away. And you found that much of what you had, let's say, been aware of before, the two of you started saying, wait a minute, what are we going to do with this? How are we going to make it work? And it is very hard when you realize that a home that you love so much is going to be taken away, when you have foreclosure notices that are being pasted on your door. You've got children that they really don't have a clue about much of what's going on, so there has to be communication with them about that. And for so many in this country at this time that have gone through so much adversity, where they have had their homes taken away from them, the stories are just heartbreaking. They've lost jobs. They're having to reinvent themselves, not unlike the two of you. And what you have done together, I think, was really realize you had to face what was going on and that so much of it was out of your control. But what could you do with where you were and who you are to make a shift? What really awakened you to that fact? Carol, why don't you address that?
Oh, you know, you made reference to it being a gift, and we look at it as a gift. So everything that's happened is not a bad thing, and that can be challenging for people to understand. We've had family and friends look at us and saying, you two are amazing. We get inspired just being in your, when we talk to you on the phone or when we see your photo or when we see you in person. And I think what we've been able to do, Donna, is take that adversity that we've been through into the gift. And really, we realize that this is our time to contribute to others in whatever way we can to support them going through many similar circumstances that we have gone through. It has been just, it's been absolutely wonderful to know that we can help other people. And that has inspired us even further.
Now, Paul, for you, answer the same question.
So your question again is, what set us on the path? Can you just sort of reframe your question succinctly?
Well, let me put it a little differently. You as a man, because of societal attitudes, let me use that word, your positioning, everything that you knew as a man that you had done right for so long, you were fitting all the modalities that it's expected of quote-unquote the head of the household. How were you able, with Carol, to relinquish that control position that you feel as a male you should have? And this is not being said in a derogatory way, because we're all going to have those things to deal with at one time or another. But how were you able to make that shift? I'm sure there's men listening to the show today that say, oh, That would just wipe me out if I you know, if I lost everything and I couldn't take care of my family.
Yeah, a beautiful question. Let's see. Well, one is I'm a learner. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm always learning and reading books and working on myself. I've been doing that for over 30 years. So, also, you know, when you think about, I've trained in different martial arts on and off. I never really mastered any of them. I wouldn't want to have to use them out in the streets, so to speak. But when you think about learning a martial art, there's always a place where you're a beginner. You're not very good at it, and you just train. Actually, one of the things that happened, which we mentioned, is that I had a very severe illness while this was going on. So while this is all going on, I'm also working on my health. And so here I am in the morning lifting these 10-pound weights because my muscle mass, my arms, just really went away from this illness. And I felt like Rocky, you know, just like trying to get back his health. So I love challenges, and when you can stay inspired, you can meet virtually any challenge in your life. So back to the question of me being a man, one thing that was beautiful is Carol and I would become each other's coaches, and so there's a specific way I wanted her to coach me where I didn't want her to fix me, didn't want her to mother me, I wanted her just to hold space for me. So I would feel the pain of the situation and then shift it inside. And so that's something that I would do. So we would do that for each other in a really healthy way, not in a codependent way. So that's something that I allowed her to do as a man, which some men have a hard time sort of sharing power with the woman of their life, and there's kind of a hierarchical role. And they use bringing in the money to be in that sort of higher position. But that's something that Carol and I try to do, is really that we're equals in this and that we both got gifts for each other. And she's got areas where she is more talented than me. And there's areas where I feel like I'm more talented than her. And we acknowledge that and we don't compete, but that we support each other. So
that I think is significant.
Good question.
Yes, that I think is very significant. Now, you have a statement, a couple that I'm going to bring out that are in your book. One is a quote, and it is from Buddhism. In a beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In an expert's mind, there are few. So you also say that instead of staying attached to being right, which follows up and complements what you have just said about the interaction with you and your wife coaching each other, consider what other opportunities or other options might be possible in finding solutions. And I think so many times we're afraid of, we get so paralyzed by our own fears. We get paralyzed with what's in front of us. And we're afraid to ask for help. Or we're afraid to brainstorm with someone. Or we're afraid to say, God, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do to someone that is close to us, that maybe is depending on us. And they might get angry and say, well, you've taken care of everything, so why don't you fix this? And there is that sense of vulnerability. What would you say to people that are listening today that may have any of what I've just mentioned and some other concerns? Because you've walked this route. Now, you've rebuilt your lives. You've published this wonderful book. Your lives are very rich and full, and your family is solid. And you know no matter what happens, you're going to withstand it. You've already gone through your initiations, and I use the plural for a reason. It seems like you had to go through more than one, and you've ended up standing on your feet, which is fabulous. What kind of questions should people ask? How would they handle this?
Well, one thing we talk about in the book is taking off the mask and how so many people are afraid just to be authentic and honest and vulnerable. And they think that vulnerability is a weakness. Here's a true life story, which I don't think we talk about in the book, that once we had to move out of our house and give it back to the bank, we had about 60 days or 45 days to find another house. So because of my bankruptcy and we couldn't apply singly for a house because we were a family, people wouldn't rent us a house. And then here in Marin, there was about a 2% vacancy rate, which probably from people losing their homes, that there was hardly anything on the market and lots of competition. So Carol got a little worried. Like,
just a little.
I don't want to be homeless, you know. And so what we did was we wrote a letter. Carol wrote the letter. And we would give it, when we'd go to look at a house, we'd give it right to the realtor. And we'd say, look, this is our situation. You know, we lost our house. We've been homeowners. We've owned together 5 houses. We will improve the house. If this is no-go for the landlord to rent this home, and we had copies of our credit scores, we had everything up front,
the application.
Then we don't want to waste your time. And so one guy met us and read the letter to the landlord over the phone. It was between us and another family, and she said, well, what are these people like? And he said, well, they're salt-of-the-earth people. She said, rent them the house. So it was beautiful because we practice a principle where we talk about don't be afraid of your situation. Be honest with people about what you're going through. Don't be a victim. That's what we talk about, your mind is your compass. But then people can respect you that you're honest, and some people won't want to touch you because they're afraid of your situation, but other people will appreciate it and give you a chance.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I've been there, and I know what that's like. And so many times when that happens, you just stand back and go, who waved the magic wand to make this possible? And it
right.
is that positioning of integrity, openness, honesty, not being a doormat, no embellishments, just the plain, honest truth.
That's how I would approach my creditors when I didn't have money and they were all coming at me to get paid. I had a whole 5-step formula I would do. But basically, I would step 3 or 4 was I would tell them, well, this is what I can do, and if you don't like it, well, then I'm sorry. Go ahead
mm-hmm.
and sue me.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew what I could do. I didn't promise something I couldn't do. And then if I couldn't keep my agreement and pay them the money, I would call them up before the agreement was due and say, look, I told you I could do this. I can't. This is what I can do. Will this work for you? And most of the time, they were okay with that. Only a few got really pissed off and yelled at me on the phone, but not too many.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing journey. It really, really is. Now, the personal triad, you have this. You talk about the 3 brain channels of communication. What are they?
Well, there's, of course, the one is the mind, which most people are familiar with. And the mind, as Paul has made reference to, we can shift where our thoughts are going. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in a panic and you're worried about something, it's your mind going in that loop of no return. And you can really get caught up into it. And I think most people have been there in their life, and at least for a moment. If they're lucky, only for a moment. But we live in our mind. We're in a culture that's very mind-like. And then the heart is, there's actually brains in our heart as well. And so when you check in with your mind and you say, okay, this is what's going on, and then you feel the feelings in your heart, it will allow you to be vulnerable, step into the pain, to the fear, and really acknowledge it. And then go back to your mind and say, is this happening right now? So you check in, and you'll find that your heart feelings will relax because you're saying, no, I have a roof over my head. I still have food to eat. I'm here with my partner, and everything's still good. And then the belly brain, which there's a lot of research that has come up lately about the gut brain, and there's brain material there. And there's hormones that are secreted. So you know that old saying, I feel it in the pit of my stomach?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason for that. It's communicating some information to us that if we have more awareness, we can go to our brain and say, oh, I'm feeling contracted in my stomach. What's going on? So we talk about the 3 languages of the mind, the heart, and the belly centers, and how they can really be your internal, I call it a truth Geiger counter. But it has been probably one of the most powerful steps that we have used throughout.
Paul, with the triad, the personal triad, you and your wife together have put this detail. For you, how has it had an impact on you and your work today and how you live your life?
Well, one thing that we do is we call ourselves Midnight Coaches, Midnight Crisis Coaching. And so I do a lot of free consults with people, and so I listen actually with all three of my brains to what they're saying, and I have some deep listening tools. So that when someone's sharing and I ask questions to bring them deeper into what is they're troubled with, I think of resources, so I hear possibilities that can help them in their situation. And at the end of the session, I offer them the resources I get. So that's something where I practice the listening with the three languages with my current clients.
You bring out a point. And by the way, I'd like to ask both of you, would you stay on with me for a little bit longer? We're going to be coming up to a break fairly shortly, so I know we won't be able to touch on. Would you be able to stay with me for another 15 minutes?
Yes.
Sure, we can. And Wonderful. We also have an offer for your audience whenever you feel that's appropriate.
Well, why don't you mention that right now before we go to break? Because we'll be able to close out, take the break, and then we're going to come back and share more information. What is the offer, Carol and Paul, that you have?
So one is we want to encourage people to invest in themselves and buy our book. You can get it on Barnes & Noble's, iBooks,
Amazon.
It's 5 Steps to Thrive, Reveal Any Crisis as Opportunity. But our offer is for the first 20 listeners that go to our website, we will give you a free on-the-phone consultation in any area you want support on in your life. So you just need to go to our website, carolandpaulbenson.com, and enter in under Contact Us, just fill in the form with your phone number and email, and that you heard us on the Donna Sebo Show. And we'd be happy to give the first 20 listeners a free consult in any area they want support on.
Well, that's absolutely awesome. This is Donna Sebo. My guests today are Carol Benson and Paul Benson. Their book is 5 Steps to Thrive, Reveal Any Crisis as Opportunity. And if you're in a situation where you feel like you are up against a stone wall and you absolutely just are feeling stuck, we're going to be covering some more information on how to develop flow and some other points. But they're also offering, just like they said, free consultations to the first 20 people that would be in touch with them. Go to their website, Carol and Paul Benson, Benson, and you will be able to find out about the book and some other things as well. We're coming back. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll share some more wonderful information from this book. Empowering yourself is really a do-it-yourself job, but you don't have to be alone in working with people that support you. That's so important. Don't be stubborn like I've been in my past and think you've got to suffer alone. Martyrdom doesn't suit anybody. If you realize it, martyrs are all dead. You're alive. You don't want to go there. When we come back, we're going to have more information to share with you. So stay with me, Carol and Paul Benson. We'll be sharing some more of their great thoughts. We'll be back in just a moment.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. My guests, if you're just joining me, are Carol Benson and Paul Benson. 5 Steps to Thrive. Reveal any crisis as opportunity. Paul and Carol, thank you so much for staying with me. I want to address something that I think most people are familiar with. We've all had those experiences that when something's in the flow, meaning it's very fluid, you happen to be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right stuff. And it's just, it's awesome. It is absolutely magical. But when you're in the 180 degree opposite side where everything's a mucky mess, well, you wonder if you're ever going to get back into the flow. Being stuck and suffering stagnation. All right. What do we do to create movement to get out of it? And how can we get back in a flow?
Well, I think the one thing that we did time and time again, Paul did this and so did I, is that we inspired ourselves to be in the flow by getting out of our own way. That was the first thing that we did, getting out of our own way. And what I mean by that specifically is that we were open to receiving new approaches, new insights, and new ways of being, to thinking about our situation. And we used questions to open up the possibilities, not the type of questions, why is this happening to me? That doesn't open up possibilities. But when we do say a question such as, all right, this isn't working for me, so what else might be possible for me right now? That question opens up an energy where I don't know how to explain it except to say that opportunities do show up when you're in that line of questioning and you do create new outcomes for yourself. So that's what I've done and Paul has done, but I think Paul wants to add something to that.
Yeah, the other thing that I think is really important for people is to have self-care rituals. Both Carol and I we actually dance, so we dance 2-3 times a week. I go hiking. Every Wednesday I take the afternoon off to do my sort of solo vision quest. I go off into nature with no phone and just spend time in nature. And I think that if people can adopt some type of self-care ritual, whether that's going to the gym a couple times a week, whether it's sort of lighting a candle in the morning and focusing on what you're grateful for, that really helps you connect with a greater energy, a greater power, whatever your beliefs are about that, that you can be infused and nurtured by the self-care rituals. And that's something I do every day before I leave the house.
I think what you're bringing up are very important points, because typically I believe people have been indoctrinated into thinking, oh, you've got to do more. You've got to do more, you've got to do more, you've got to do more, you've got to do more. And I can only express from my own personal experience, when I start doing more, I get less accomplished. When I start doing more or trying to force things, and this has happened to me so much in my life, I don't know why I'm so stubborn about it, but it's like, oh, well, maybe if I do this, this will be better. Maybe if I do that, I'll do better. I don't know if any of my audience can relate to that. And then all of a sudden you say, I can't do anymore, and then you stop, and you back up, and you just say, oh, the heck with it. And you go and you do something like what you've suggested, Paul, and like what you've suggested, Carol, and you just go, well, I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden something happens. There is a process of letting go that I think complements this. And a good way to let go, it doesn't mean you give up your sense of responsibility. You haven't stated that at any point in your book. That's not what either one of you have stated. You've just said, let's let's look at things a little differently. And you talk about three flows, the slow flow, the flexible flow, and the alchemical flow. Let's address the differences in those three flows that you've described in your book.
Yeah, go ahead.
So slow flow is where everything feels stuck and frozen. So my business money flow was in slow flow. That's where things aren't working very well. Flexible flow is where you start opening up to with open-ended questions. You start to really use the principles of our book to shift things around. Like, for instance, when I talked about self-care rituals, that as your energy, as your body has more energy and more vibrancy, you can handle the stress and you don't, it doesn't take you down in the same way. You don't get depressed and just give up. You stay inspired. And alchemical flow, that's kind of what we talk about in point zero. That's where magic starts to happen, where you're vulnerable, you're honest, you state what you want, and then all of a sudden something out of the blue just shows up to support you. That's what we call alchemical flow.
The Thrive waves that you discuss are, well, it's step number three in the five-step that process that you discuss in your book. And the genuine you, this is something I'm hearing more and more about with people. It's a self-discovery level. And in today's world, it seems to be happening with a rapidness and intensity that is almost unsettling. And it's very hard. It's so easy to get into what I call a goose step mentality. And to get out of that mentality means that you have to shake yourself up sometimes. And a lot of people right now, not just here in the United States, but all around the world, are being shaken up big time. Let's talk about taking off the mask. I have yet to meet a person that doesn't have a mask. Part of life, part of what we develop because of social training, educational training. There's all different kinds of environments that we're subjected to. So we develop these changing masks. Taking it off, oh my goodness. That's like a woman who wears false eyelashes all the time giving them up. I mean, it's just, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do
and
it,
it's not just about the physical mask. It's our metaphoric mask because we all come from backgrounds, our families of origin, where we adapted to the situation in our personalities and the way we communicate and the way we have relationships with others. And the rituals that we fell into, a lot of that has to do with the way we were raised and what we saw when we were small children. And then, of course, as we grow older, we're influenced by peers and by education and by different environments that we might work in. And we find that we have all of a sudden these multiple personas that we can shift from. And I think when one goes through challenges like we have gone through, we realized along the way that if we just acted as if everything was still the same, it wouldn't have allowed us to flow into the next part of where our life was leading us. So we became vulnerable, and we also found that we could dig deep inside of ourselves to any of the areas that were causing us to stay stuck. And that we could do the work, the personal work, to move through that into a different level. And there was a lot of breakthrough moments. I have to say, you know, what do they say, that when you you have a breakdown, you're on the cusp of having a breakthrough if you stick it out.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And you have a statement in your book, allowance equals acceptance equals gratitude. I'm a strong believer in being grateful. There's just so much I think we have to be grateful for, but when we're going through tough times, we often block that out because we look at what we think we don't have. And that's those three words, allowance, acceptance, and gratitude. Why did you put them in that order?
Well, I think that allowance is not surrendering. It's a different energy behind it than surrendering. Surrendering almost means like you give up. But when you allow something, you allow it to unfold. And, Paul, you want to answer the next two? Here we go.
Yeah, so allowance, just a little more on allowance. Allowance is where you let it be as it is. And it's actually it's a high state of being where you're not trying to change, whether it's another person or situation. You're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to change it. You just let it be. And then that moves into accepting. And accepting is where you don't fight it. And I think so many times we try to fight life. And what I was seeing is that life is an amazing teacher for us. And if you are in a period where things are just falling apart, then I believe that's an initiation period, that you are actually being initiated into an adventure. As Joseph Campbell talked about the call to adventure, and how many people take the call to adventure, and you can either shrivel up and kind of sink and shrink, and not really see, not really take advantage of the adventure, or you can face it as best you can. And I think you just got to start small, and as you start small, you start to have little successes. And as you can build on those successes, and all of a sudden you feel that you can really take the mask off. So I hope that answers your question.
Trust is a word that I think is very significant. It's not easy to do. And you talk about letting inner awareness being your guide, learning to trust oneself, having that awareness that there is something that's going to unfold. You don't know how it's going to happen. That's such a big issue, and I know we're running out of time here. You have so many things in your book. This is a powerful book. Again, it's not a big book, which I think is good. Someone could tuck this in their briefcase or in their purse, and you have questions one can ask themselves. And it's very comfortable to read, and because of your personal story that you have in here, you and your family, it's even more powerful. 5 Steps to Thrive Reveal Any Crisis as Opportunity. Carol and Paul Benson, you are offering something very special to my listeners. You're offering them a free consultation. They can buy the book on your site, which is Carol and the word and is spelled out, Carol and Paul Benson, BENSON.com. But you're offering that free consultation to someone that might feel like they're stuck. Not only would they be able to get the book, but they are able to interact with you one-on-one, which I think is outstanding. So they can go to your website, carolandpaulbenson.com. We're just about out of time. Do you have a closing thought you would like to leave with my listeners today?
Well, I would just say invest in yourself in whatever way that is, whether it's a free consultation with us, whether it's buying our book or buying something else that speaks to you. But you are worth it, each person. You are a jewel, and I believe that every situation that could be uncomfortable in life is a seed. That seed just got planted in you when that situation happened. And can you take that seed and blossom as a human being? Because we're all meant to blossom, and we're all beautiful gifts. And I think that's what I would like to offer the listeners is, can you see that you are a gift? You're a
Carol,
gift for the
you
world.
Have a couple of words you'd like to share.
And what I would like to leave behind is that no matter how scared you are about a situation or how emotionally upset you are about something, you can ask yourself this question, what's next? Because it opens up and invites something else to show up that will serve you more in a different way. And it's possible. We know it. We've been living it.
Yes, you have. Wonderful book, 5 Steps to Thrive. Check out Carol and Paul Benson.com. Donnasebo.com. Thank you both for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back shortly.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, so give me a buzz. All I need is your first name or your initial, and then sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive. And then, of course, you can always ask me a question about whatever you like. Again, 888-627-6008. Oh, are we going to have a great lineup next week? Oh, my goodness. We're going to be talking about Vermeers. Yes, the lady in waiting. This is a novel, but, ooh, is it cool. It is about masters, the paintings by same painting masters, and more, the underworld of the black market in fine art and historical items. So we've got that. Lolly Anderson's going to be my guest. We have a lady that was scheduled a journey to oneness. Her name is Rasha, but she is in the hospital. So we may have a surprise guest on Tuesday, but I'll be letting you know on Monday what happens there. And Rasha will be coming back to us. We'll be booking her at a later time. Then we're going to be talking with another novelist, Peter Shapiro, Ghost on the Red Line. Oh, this is so cool. Now, I don't usually do novels, but each of these are powerhouses. They have historical basis to them, and there's just so much factual information that we will be discussing. So this is really going to be cool. Common Sense and Uncommon Times. Brian Chrissy is going to be my guest. Emergencies. Things that can go wrong, how can we prepare for them? What can we do? Well, we'll be finding out from Brian what tools we can use. And return to joy, Mark Nepo. This is a man who has a passion for empowering people and making us aware that life is a rich, rich, rich experience. So we've got those guests, and the posting on the upcoming guests will be up here pretty soon on show information. And also, I will be putting out my newsletter this weekend, so you'll see a listing of guests there as well. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, fall has entered into the Pacific Northwest. We have had such absolutely magnificently gorgeous weather here. Like I said, our kayaks were put away, but we had to get out our rain gear. The weather was extremely warm. I felt like I was in Virginia. The humidity was extremely high, and we got hit with rain. course, everything around us just loves it, and we enjoy it, too, because it freshens everything up. But, oh, it has just been marvelous, and I think our Indian summer is going to be great. I wanted to share with you just some whimsical trivia here. People build houses, create living environments from some of the most unusual stuff and in the most unusual places. Now, could you imagine a treehouse? Well, of course you can. It's something that I can remember envying a kid whose dad built them a treehouse in a tree in their backyard. I thought it was so great. Well, in Indonesia, the Korowai tribe builds houses in the tops of trees. They've been doing it for generations. Now, why did they do it? Part of it was because they wanted to protect themselves from warring neighbors. Well, makes sense. You've got an advantage over your enemy. But also, it took them above the mosquitoes. Ah, yes, those friendly flying critters that we all love to hate. Well, they didn't have insecticides, so what they figured out is if we're up high enough, they're not going to be up here, and they didn't get bitten. And some houses are placed as high as 164 feet. That's right. And a missile silo. What would you think about living in one? Well, they're absolutely monstrous in size. And here in the U.S., more than one family has purchased a decommissioned silo from the U.S. government and converted it into a home. The same thing with travel containers that you see on the big ships. A lot of people are buying these steel-formed items and converting them into homes. It's amazing. And then mine shafts in Australia. Now, I don't know that I'd be so excited about a mine shaft, but in the mining town of Coober Pedy in Australia, more than 3,000 people live in these mine shafts underground. There's homes, they've got hotels, and there's even a church. That is really something, people living underground. Commercial aircraft here in the United States, people have transformed them into homes. But I think this next one, I don't know that I'd want to be in this place. How about in the middle of a volcano? Yep. Here in the United States, there is a volcanic cone in the high desert between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. And there is a house that was built right on the volcano. Now, I said a house. Now, it's apparently not a very big house. I wouldn't think so. But it's an inactive volcano. And so someone decided they wanted to live there. I'll tell you, what we human beings come up with is just absolutely amazing. Floating houses, oh my, boathouses here in Seattle, there are a lot of people that have boathouses. There's just so many things that we can do to create a home for ourselves. And it just takes a little imagination and creativity and sometimes frugality using whatever is conveniently available that makes a home. And of course, how we work with it, what we put into it, makes it what we call a real special space for us and for those that we love. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're just about out of time. I want to thank my guests, Carol and Paul Benson, for being able to share time with me. I hope that their words inspire you and that you'll take advantage of going to their website. There's a free consultation available to you, carolandpaulbenson.com. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. Your fate comes about because of how you think, the actions you execute, and what you are going to be able to move forward into. Life is an adventure. Don't be afraid of the change and the challenges. Be honest, you don't like them, but don't be afraid of them. Be willing to explore new options because it may surprise you. You may end up discovering an opportunity that in a million years you would never even have imagined possible, all because you dared to be true to yourself and to make a shift. Have a magnificent weekend wherever you are, and know that you're blessed and that I so appreciate your spending your time with me. Thank you very much. We'll be chatting again very soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.